Right, it's time to get up to speed on all the latest tech news now. Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, is the man for the job. You can find him on Twitter, at Gadget Detective. Afternoon, Fevzi.
Afternoon.
Let us start with the story of the week then, which thankfully wasn't serious, but could have been extremely so.
I think this is serious.
Well, it's serious in intent, but it didn't... did it cause any terrible...
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
it did? Oh, I've read it properly then.
So,
tell me everything.
Right, so this is a story that... So on Thursday, the NHS's systems went down. Some of them did, particularly the 111 system, which it wasn't clear why it had gone down, but it was being announced in the last 4 or 5 hours that, in fact, it was a cyber attack.
Gosh.
That the NHS was attacked. Not clear whether it was targeted. It probably was targeted, but or it could just be that because it's running some rather old systems, it picks up whatever's going around, as it were. But the reason why this is serious is because so this is the system that serves NHS 111 service, and although that's a sort of out of hours GP type service, they're also responsible for initiating ambulances.
Mm.
So the way it works, when you ring 111. They triage you using a set of questions. So although the person triaging you may not be medically qualified, this is a set of questions that are designed to work out what should happen next, which is go away, you're wasting our time, see your pharmacist, see your GP within 2 days, see your GP immediately, call an ambulance. That's one of the outcomes, possible outcomes of 111. And because this system's gone down, ambulances looks like may have been delayed. I have to say it's hard to know to be able to tell when an ambulance is delayed these days because they do take so long. And that's not a criticism of the ambulance service. That's just, resources and the fact that ambulances are getting stuck outside. And do you know why ambulances have to wait in car park offload their patients?
I have thought that more than once, and I don't know why I've never bothered to look it up and find out. So thank you for telling me. Go ahead.
The traditional reason was that the government used to monitor how long patients spent in A&E, and the target was, I say was because I think the government's recently scrapped it, but the target was that within 4 hours, a patient arriving at A&E should either be discharged or admitted. So they should have done whatever they need
to
do.
So if they're in the ambulance outside, it doesn't count.
They're in the ambulance, hours hasn't started. So they're tying up a hugely valuable resource and they're paying for those as well, because a lot of the ambulances are run by DHL, which is funny because I shouldn't tell you. DHL has a nickname which is completely unjustified, I have to say.
No, I don't.
I won't, because it's not complimentary, but I did tell an ambulance driver this once. He said, yes, we know. So DHL are running parts of our ambulance service as well, which means that it's all being paid for, huge amounts of money going into it and being wasted by having them sat in car parks and patients not being treated in good time. So on top of that...
So it's very important not to have any additional pressure put on by something like this, is what you're saying.
Well, yes. And, right. And what I think what I'd just say about this story briefly is that in the old days, when your enemies attacked you, one, you knew you'd been attacked, and two, you knew who had attacked you, and you could respond. And this could be a bunch of crooks, or it could be another government. It could be a state actor, a non-friendly state. We've got enough enemies at the moment. And it's very, very hard. I mean, it took from Thursday to now to discern that this was an attack and wasn't a sort of a systems failure. So... It just means that when we design these sorts of critical systems, we have to design them not just to work, but one of the key design principles has to be the security and the robustness of the system. It has to be built in. This was always a problem, say, with Windows 95, going back a bit. Windows 95, they tried to make it secure, but whatever they did, it wasn't really secure because it wasn't built in. Windows XP was the first version where it was one of the design criteria. And unfortunately, the NHS, because you remember, it's not the first time the NHS has fallen victim to, cyber attacks, but the NHS was running some really old systems, and it's very hard to secure all of those systems as well. So I'm not sure exactly what happened here and who did it, but it's a way of killing your enemies. I mean, imagine this can kill people. You know, it may well result in a death that would not otherwise have occurred, and possibly more than one. It's a way that someone, you know, a government who doesn't like you can attack you. They can attack your NHS system, your power grid, your police system, your utilities. And it's almost impossible to know who's done it. And then how do you retaliate and how do you defend against it? So,
yeah, very complicated, you know, strange world that we live in these
but
days.
But what's the alternative? We go yeah. back to faxing and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, there is a room in the Kremlin where they use typewriters.
I think everybody should keep one. You know, I mean, we've still got a CD player in the studio here and a stack of CDs, and we're never going to give that up. Yeah. Systems fail, but, you know.
You know, typewriters are also not secure. You know, it is possible. There are software programs that can listen to the clacks of a typewriter.
No, that's amazing.
Listen to the timing, because, you know, fingers take time to, you know, like if someone hits a double letter, it's quick. You can actually work it out, and the system, using a little bit of AI, can actually work out what's being typed. So even these things that are what are called air-gapped, you know, where they don't have a direct link to the internet, or even mechanical devices, can still be hacked.
Shall I tell you something I did when I was 19?
Okay.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
I
assumed you were still 19, Bill.
I love you, darling. I was partway through my 3-year journalism course, and when you'd done a few months, you got sent out to one of the local weekly papers to get a bit of practical experience. So I was sent for a week to the Bridge North Journal. And I did all the things that other people didn't want to do. Like I wrote the children's column for that week and, you know, various other stories that nobody else could be bothered with. And I loved every minute of it. And I knew it was the right thing for me. And I worked my socks off. And then I knew that the editor had to write a report to send back to the training school after the week. And there he was in his office on the Friday afternoon. And said, "I'm just doing your report now, Buckley." All that. And there was, I think the other reporters were out somewhere, and he left the office for a bit. And I went into the office and I found the carbon paper and I read backwards the report he'd written about me. And if ever he'd back in, I'd have been in such terrible trouble. But he didn't. And he wrote a very flattering report and said he thought I did have the makings of the reporter. He said, yes. And they said, and then in the negative section, he said he is the worst tea maker that I've ever come across.
So you were always destined for great things because no one wanted you to make their tea.
Do you know, that could be the secret of my intergalactic success. Fevzi Turkout, the Gadget Detective, is with us. You can subscribe to his podcast for free at gadgetdetective.com or in all those various ways that we listen to stuff these days, like Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc. On we go then to, it used to be Gadget of the Week, but I've noticed lately it's Gadgets, Fevzi.
I think I've been a little bit ambitious. It's like when I look at a piece of cake. And, you know, so I don't think we're going to get through it all, but let's see.
Want to just do one and do one next week in time.
Yeah, I think that might happen.
And please don't mention cake, because you know what it does to me. You're always mentioning cake when you're on, and I don't get anything to eat.
Can I tell you, Bill? Because I felt so bad last week about, you know, how I teased you inadvertently with cake, talk of cake.
Yes.
I won't mention cake further.
We seem to be having a conversation about cake now, but never mind, carry on. Yes.
I know. Well, I actually bought you a cake to send you. It wasn't much of a cake. It was a small...
That's nice.
It was, and you know, they do say it's a thought that counts, right? Because then I ran out of cake.
Oh, you didn't.
And
oh, you
I did.
Didn't.
I ate your cake, Bill. I'm so sorry.
Right, Gadget of the Week, then. Let's do it.
Do you know there's a beautiful poem called Chocolate Cake by, I've forgotten, he used to be Poet Laureate. Anyway, it's all about a little boy who sneaks downstairs and eats the cake his mother ate.
Yeah, and because we're all Pavlov's dogs, I wasn't hungry a minute ago, and now, I've got a big hunger pang right in the middle of my middle.
I'm
thanks
so
to
sorry.
You.
We've
done it again.
Deliberate. Oh, no, sorry. I won't mention cake next week. All right. We've definitely only got time for one now. Gadget of the Week is the Anker 575 USB-C docking station 13-in-1. I will explain what this is and why you might want it. Modern laptop computers in particular are very powerful, but they don't have many sockets on them anymore. That is because of two things. It is because the sockets that they do have are in principle very capable in that they can do many different things. You can connect them to an external display, you can connect external hard drives, you can have a wired Ethernet connection, but they can't do it all at once. They can only do one at once because it's a single socket. This thing takes one of those sockets, a USB-C socket, and it divides it out into 13 different connectors, 13 different ports, as they're known. So, and as I say, the machines are very svelte. You know, there's actually not room on them for a lot of connectors. Mm. And even if there were, it's not great because when you come back to your desk and you want to use the big screen and the external keyboard and external mouse and the external hard drive and all that, then you, even if it had all the sockets, you'd have to plug them all in one by one, which is a pain, and then unplug them all when you want to, you know, snatch your laptop and go somewhere quickly. You can't. With this, it's a single connector into the USB-C connector. So USB-C, universal serial bus, the old type were the rectangular ones, you know, about the width of your finger. And the USB-Cs, they're the little oval ones, slightly smaller and oval-shaped. And it's not just the shape that's changed. They can have much more data flowing through them. So when you connect the Anker 575 USB-C docking station, you suddenly get in, you connect into one port, it does the following. It becomes the charging port. So often, you know, you might only have one or two of these connectors on your computer, and then you lose one of them because you've got to use it as a charging port. So it charges. It will supply 85 watts to a laptop computer through this device. Yeah, it will provide 18 watts of charging for a phone, so it will fast charge a phone. It can connect up to three 4K displays. So it's three displays in 4K resolution. So that's 4K resolution is four times full HD, okay, four times the number of dots. So you can connect three, assuming your laptop supports it in principle, it will connect up to three screens to one computer, which is great because then you can have like your social media running on one screen, you know, your emails on another, so you can see them as they drop through, and then you can be typing on the third, and you can just, with the right software, you can just seamlessly move across the screens. So that's rather nice as well. It also has a wired Ethernet connection. Something you almost never find on a laptop is wired internet. These days, everyone relies on Wi-Fi, but Wi-Fi is never as good and reliable as wired. But for a multiplicity of reasons, you don't get any more. So you get a gigabit Ethernet connection that's fast Ethernet. If you like taking photos or you have any sort of device that generates photos and stores them on a little SD or micro SD card. So an SD card is the size of your sort of thumbnail, really, and a micro SD is about the size of your nail on your little finger. So you can pop one of those out, you can slide it directly into the socket on this device and transfer them all across quickly and efficiently. Another thing that's gone off laptops pretty much these days is headphone sockets and audio outputs. And the speakers built into laptops are not generally very good. And, you know, the ability to plug in a set of headphones is valuable, but often not there. So this has a headphone socket, and it gives you a multiplicity of additional USB sockets. So you can plug in your keyboard, your mouse, your external hard drive, you know, for backups and so forth. And then it's all, so you can have up to 13 devices plugged into this, but only one wire going into your laptop. Doesn't have to be a laptop, but it's most useful with a laptop because then when you want to go away, you unplug one wire, and when you come back, you replug one wire, and then everything else remains set up and connected for you. And that really means that you could buy a laptop with a really small screen, you know, small as you could sort of manage out and about, in return for which it's going to be much lighter and give you better, potentially better battery life. And then when you come back to your desk, you plug it in, and then you've got a big external monitor, an external keyboard, and all the benefits of a powerful computer, but now all the sort of usability benefits of it. So it is a delight. It's list price on it is $299. Do watch the price, because Anker are pretty good at doing discounts from time to time, and so you can often find quite a significant discount. But the list price is $299, and it's 4.5 stars out of 5, because I think it's almost essential for people who want to, you know, make the most of the devices that they're paying for. Because you're paying for all this power in a laptop these days, and then we're not really able to fully use it because they've skimped on the connectors. So 4.5 stars out of 5, £299, and it's the Anker 575 USB-C docking station.
Right, I shall keep my eyes on the post for a large cake of apology. I'm sure it can't be long coming now. And we will talk in 7 days' time. Fevzi, thank you so much.
Cheers.